address the Budget Commission?
Yes, sir. Ready to roll.
All right, it is April 14, 2020, at 10:32 a.m. We'll call this meeting the Jefferson County Commissioners Court to order. Begin our order today, an invocation led by Commissioner Senegal and the Pledge of Allegiance led by Commissioner Austin.
Please bow here. Heavenly Father, all I got to say is have mercy on us all. Amen.
Amen.
Say a pledge in unison. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll begin our agenda today with items under purchasing. Item A is consider and approve specification for request for proposal for auditing services to Jefferson County. Item B is consider and approve specification for request for proposals for grant administration of management services for community development block grant mitigation for Jefferson County pursuant to Chapter 262, Texas Local Government Code, County Purchasing Act, and Chapter 2 of Code of Federal Regulations, Sections 200, 318 through 326. Item C will be taken separately. Item B is consider and approve specification for request for qualifications for on-call professional airport planning services, airport master plan update, and environmental analysis with Jack Brooks Regional Airport. Item E is to execute, receive, and file a lease extension for a lease of property acquired as a result of buyout for 5 additional years with the Levesey Family Partnership from July 6, 2019 through July 5, 2024. Do I have a motion on items A, B, D, and E?
I got a motion.
Moved by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Arnold.
The D, what is that on-call professional planning? What is that?
B?
A D.
D. Oh, D.
As needed.
As needed?
If something comes up.
Okay.
During this.
I'm trying to think of the gentleman's name. He's a former FAA administrator that does some. He's originally from Fort.
Yeah, that's Kelvin. That might be, but the way I'm reading, the request for qualifications. So they're just going out for a request for qualifications right there.
Right. Yes, sir. And part of that is for them to be like on call if something occurs that we need to be included for grants issues. Because sometimes we don't know when the grants come through until the last minute.
Any other discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Item C is consider, establish, and approve a selection and review committee to include one elected official to review the responses received for grant administration services for community development block grant mitigation for Jefferson County. Pursuant to Chapter 262, Texas Local Government Code, County Purchasing Act, and 2 CFR, Sections 200.318 through 326. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Offer.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Senegal.
I need some.
Now we need some names from each commissioner of who you'd like to be.
And one must be an elected official.
I would like to put in Charlie Hallmore, the treasurer.
Mark the room.
Commissioner Arnold.
What about Patrick? Is he already been assigned?
No.
No, not yet.
I'll put Patrick's name forward.
Commissioner Weaver.
Okay, who do we have right now on the table? Is there any audio cut out?
We got Charlie Hallmark, Mark Maroon, and Patrick.
Okay. How many? So one elected official.
We've already got
and
that.
How,
we've got two elected right. officials.
We do. Yeah, we should.
We don't have one. Oh.
We can only Charlie. Have one. Or could
no,
we have
one? Must be an okay. elected official. So.
Can he, did he hear y'all?
How many total on the board?
We were going to
do five.
Five. So each commissioner in the county judge.
Sorry. Right now, the name we have is Charlie Harmon, Martin DeRuin, and Patrick.
And Steve Stafford.
Is that Stafford?
Stafford. What?
What is that?
Let's pass on it. Commissioner.
Yeah, how long is this meeting for?
It's just for this one application, this one to grade the responses that come back for grant administration services for our CDBG mitigation money.
Honestly, Jeff is on the committee?
No, I'm just in supervising by law.
Okay. All right. I'll put forth Alex Rupp.
Alex.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it. Moving to County Officer, item A, to consider and ratify approval received.
Judge, if I can interject, if we could just repeat those names for the record, will we?
They are Charlie Hallmark, Mark DeRuin, Patrick Swain, Steve Stafford, and Alex Rupp. All right, moving on to item under County Auditor, item A is to consider and ratify, approve, receive, and file agreements for data collector data entry mapping between Russell Wright and Jefferson County for COVID-19 measures. Item B is consider and ratify, approve, receive, and file agreements between nurse practitioners, RNs, LVNs, and Jefferson County for providing services for COVID-19 testing site. Item C is consider and ratify, approve, receive, and file agreements between supervisors, call receptionists, safety check officers in Jefferson County for providing services for COVID-19 call centers. Item D is to receive and file the U.S. Department of Justice United States Marshal Service Modification Number 14 to the current Intergovernmental Agreement 78-01-0077. The purpose of the agreement is to adjust the current per diem rate of 8340 to 8368 for guard transportation rate effective 2-1-2020. Item E is to consider and possibly approve a resolution for Jefferson County submission of application for the Coronavirus Emergency Supplemental Funding Program solicitation. This grant request has an award. Did somebody call? This grant request has an award ceiling of $58,008 that requires no cash match from the county. Item F is to consider and approve implementing the two original provisions of the Coronavirus Aid Relief and Economic Security Act in relation to the nationwide 457B deferred compensation plan for employees. Commissioner Weaver, can you mute your line when you're not talking?
That's not me on there talking.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Somebody else is on the line, I guess, not me.
I'm gonna mute everyone, so if you need to talk, just unmute yourself, Commissioner Arnold.
The two provisions are tax favored withdrawals up to $100,000 until December 31st, 2020, and expanded access to loan from retirement accounts for 180 days after enactment from March 27, 2020 to September 23rd, 2020. Item G is considered an approved budget transfer for Road Bridge Precinct 4 for the purchase of security cameras for precinct building. Item H is Franklin County Bills, check numbers 470324 through 470587. Motion on those items under officer.
Moved
by Commissioner Arnold.
No, that was Weaver.
Oh, excuse me, Weaver. I'll second it. Now discussion. Patrick, you want to explain these A, B, and C?
Yeah, this is part of the operations of the EOC. We they had contracted for some data entry, also for the call site and test sites with nurses, RNs, LVNs, and nurse practitioners.
We'll be requesting emergency services reimbursement from?
Yeah, these will fall within our, you know, we're going to put these in category B. They want to do contracts just because of the situation. Fluid, and, you know, they can reduce as necessary.
Who is Russell Wright? All I saw was a letter saying that he's accepted.
I mean, right, we just did a one-page contract on all these. He's helping out the EOC with
that. What is his background, Patrick?
I do not know. He's just helping out with...
Where do we get these people from?
Basically, from most of the nurses. My understanding is probably Leslie, Riggs, and Rachel put out some information to try to get some people to come work these sites.
And they're basically a bunch of nurses that have been furloughed from practices where they're not doing elective procedures. So they weren't available to work.
I'm looking at some of the salaries.
In regards to the call center, I know these agreements obviously have to do with the cost of the personnel. What is the potential for reimbursement for these call centers and all the costs that are related to the coordination of the testing sites, et cetera?
We will be requesting Category B reimbursement from FEMA. We have declared disasters by both the president and the governor. These are certainly emergency services. We would not be doing them but for the pandemic. So I feel very good about our being reimbursed.
Yeah, right now it's at 75-25 when we do apply.
And okay. Who will eat the 25? Will Jefferson County eat the 25, or will everybody in the region, if this thing set up, how would that be discerned?
As the EOC set up, so you have some joint costs with the different counties. What we came up with was to split it based on population. Those joint costs that we can identify that are grouped together. I can get you a list of those, but don't quite remember our ratio, if it's 50%. A little over 50% is our cost, our population cost sharing formula. But mainly for the testing sites, for the call center, for the test kits, for the food, for the EOC, those kind of things, there's kind of joint share.
Okay.
Buy a piece of equipment, it's going to be our piece of equipment that we fall over with. We're going to take 100%.
Have we purchased anything, Judge?
Yes.
PPE.
Yes, we have purchased.
We have purchased things?
Yes.
And those costs will be broken down. If it comes to us, it's for us to pay for, correct? That's what I just heard you say. Or does it break down that up with a 50%?
I can see you what is going to be broken out and what's not.
Okay, we need to know those things. But the other thing is, I heard this, and I don't know how true, because I heard you just say something about the test kits. Judge, I heard that if the numbers go in the call center that we have go below a certain number of calls coming in, that the call center can go away. That not the call center, the site where we give the take the test can go away. Is that true?
Certainly, if the calls go away, the test sites will go away. If the cases go down and are non-existent, then there'll be no need for us to continue testing unless we want to get epidemiological data about asymptomatic people walking around that are spreaders. But if the disease goes away, then obviously no one's spreading. Our numbers were down over the Easter weekend, like maybe only 70 calls on Sunday, where we went back up to, I think, 160 yesterday, 147, and they're getting calls in this morning. Effective tomorrow night, we're going to only go on an 8 to 8 shift, 8 in the morning to 8 p.m. Last night on the 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. shift, they only got 10 or 12 calls, and four or five of those were for information that they could have gotten from 211. So we're putting that information out that will be no overnight shift beginning tomorrow night unless volume really picks up and we have to reestablish it.
But the numbers are still climbing, and my question, and the reason why I'm asking this question, because when I start looking at where the numbers are coming from, and the people look like they're being affected, because I don't know, they're not putting down racial or none of those things, ethnic backgrounds or anything, but okay, I know they're coming.
I can get you that information, because I was very concerned when I looked last night.
I'm concerned.
I think 15 whites, 2 Hispanics, 27 African Americans.
And I always why I'm asking these questions, because this call center is important, because I don't know what kind of data they're taking in, but I know just looking around, listening at what I'm getting out of the news media, that if it's in those pockets of areas that we need to make sure that we have testing going on, because we've had to try to get some people to the airport, we need to reconsider what we have. For both sites, wherever those numbers are asking for it from, we need to reconsider where it's located to make sure we put it there. Because I do not want us to leave and think we are out of the woods with it.
When we first started this, the curve had us peaking on May 7th. Last week, a week ago Monday, it was revised back to April 20th. Then Wednesday it was revised up to the peak being April 28th. This morning it's revised to the peak being April 30th. So we're not through this by any stretch of the imagination. And if we see pockets arise, where we need to go to, as for instance, like we sent our strike team Saturday to the nursing home and tested 78 employees and residents, and hopefully we'll get those results back today. We'll go to those areas if we need to the extent that our testing capacity still exists, but to the extent we have enough PPE and test kits. So far, our reference laboratories have continued to provide us what we need to get our daily work done and still have a little bit of extra inventory. We hope that continues.
Patrick.
We are not getting our shipments of PPE or testing kits from the state that we were anticipating.
Patrick, one other thing that I want to know, and this is
because I don't have any problems on my end. Were you hearing everything the judge was saying? And it's cutting out some other words and maybe.
I don't know where it's microphone or what. I just want to make sure that this from hearing.
Patrick, the cost, the salaries that are located there, some of these salaries are extremely high. When I look at $85 an hour, I assume that's what it is. And I want to know how we deem those things to be in line. Are they in line with what the industry asks for, or is this something different? Because I need to know.
Yeah, let me get you some information on that. I think overall, the initial discussion was to look at what was being paid in the private industry, not what was being paid through public tax, and then to look at that without benefits and possibly add $10 on top of that. So that's kind of how you came to. You got a breakdown of $85 an hour for the nurse practitioner. They're actually a site supervisor, $60 for the RNs, $35 for the LPNs, $25 for the data collection. Call centers, you have a different rate. You have 40 for the supervisor, 30 for the RN, and 15 for the safety check. They're located in the door, and they check.
Judge, I got a question on Patrick's done.
Okay.
Patrick, is there going to be a review or relook believe he said that we would relook at that. All these individuals that are in the call center obviously are part of the EOC, so they are incorporated into that. Isn't that correct?
No, these are all contract personnel.
They're not county employees.
They're not county employees, but we're paying the salaries.
We're paying their contractual rate.
We're paying their contractual rate. So we're paying the salaries?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, those are going to be considered shared costs with the other.
And that's where we need to know that 55% of it is coming from us or above, and then the rest will come around.
We're the main payer, and then we're the bank, okay? And this is EOC.
Okay, Patrick.
And then we're going to cost share with the different counties that are partnered with us for certain costs that are shared.
Okay, now let's get back to the you said that we're going to apply for reimbursement on this money?
Yes.
Now, that brings me to why these two constables are sitting here. Why are we cherry picking which constables work? What? They're considered law enforcement.
That's not part of this agenda item. We can do that under public discussion.
Okay, we'll do it under public discussion. But my deal is, I was just asking about the reimbursement, and when you start, okay, we'll do it under public discussion.
Judge, you say it's not a part of, but we are approving the contracts of some individuals that are doing some services there, and we have constables in our county that we're going to choose not to pay on that level, and they're going to provide service to
law
the citizens right here. Law enforcement.
Okay, I'm trying to keep in line with what the law is and know the meaning.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
These are contract employees, not employees. They're not even employees, and you're talking about employment issues. So I'd like to bring that up at the end when we do public discussion.
Well, one thing I would like to say about these lists, next time involve commissioners who's going to be approving these names in the decision on who should be there, because like you say, the right guy, I don't know who he is. I don't know if he has any background in statistics or data gathering or anything. I might have known a young person out of college that's not in school that could do that. So what I'm saying is, if Leslie and other people are picking, make sure that you call me and give me the opportunity to pick.
I'm sorry.
And I'm backgrounding on that too, because I had the Black Nurses Association to contact me and several others, and none of them, they have went through these evidently lists and say they have none of their individuals that are part of it. And I feel just a little bit that we need to make sure that we look at things holistically in this county when we're dealing with money from the citizens of this county.
That we're voting on, man. If it's something I don't have any vote on, then let me know. But I did have some calls also from the Lamar State College nurses that not involved. And I said, they asked me who picked this list. I said, I don't know. And I really didn't know.
They made a call in the nursing community. They took the first people that called, and then they reached capacity. They have a waiting list in case they lose somebody that they're going to pick from that waiting list. I don't have time personally to be involved in that. I'm working 7 days a week, many hours a day, on the phone all the time in the EOC, and I just don't have time to stop and call everybody every time a decision has to be made.
And I understand, I respect that, Judge. I'm just saying, when a decision has to be made on my vote, whoever needs half the time to call me, call me. Patrick, or anybody else, Leslie.
Yeah, part of this was to get these as part of a public record. So when we're all searching for these documents, in about 2 years, when we're trying to submit for reimbursement, we're getting those in. Part of this was done during the time, and we're still under that time, I believe, for the exigent and emergent circumstances for purchasing. Most of these purchasing rules have been lifted to deal with this emergency. So that's kind of part of this whole issue of running.
We understand, Patrick. We understand. But as he said, as elected officials sitting here and making decisions on money that come from the taxpayers of Jefferson County, We just want to make sure there's a fair playing field and everybody's being talked to, because we had some people that was interested in providing service. That's all we're saying, from me.
And if you could get those names or contact to Rachel Kogulski, then she can contact them and come
without
up.
Without a doubt.
All right, any other discussion? Commissioner Arnold, Commissioner Weaver?
No.
Let me update the court on this one here before we go. I'm transferring money because I've had two break-ins at my service center, thefts. The new trucks that we had, that they basically sent us the wrong trucks from Ford. We held them there until we got the new trucks. And each one of those trucks were broken in, well, they broke in the facility. We put up lights and everything. The second time they broke in, they tore wires out and things of that nature. And the law enforcement community, I'm going to say this so all commissioners know, the law enforcement community told me that they are breaking in where there's a heavy equipment like that to steal the manifolds because of precious metal and things in the manifolds. So I want to make sure you guys know so we can make sure we're looking for things like that is happening.
All right. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Ayes have it. I'm the county commissioner. We have three items. Item A is conduct a public hearing regarding the establishment of the Emerald Biofuels Reinvestment Zone pursuant to Section 321.2041 of the Texas Tax Code. So, Mary, we're going to open up a public hearing, so we'll need to open up the lines in case anybody wants to say anything. So, this public hearing is now open for anyone who wishes to address the issue.
If you dial in and you have a question, you can dial #6. And unmute yourself.
Do we have any public comments? Hearing none, this public hearing is closed. The item B is to consider and possibly approve, receive, and file an order to establish the Emerald Biofuel Free Investment Zone pursuant to 321.2041 of the Texas Tax Code. And item C is to consider and possibly approve a proclamation for Soil and Water Stewardship Week. Do I have a motion on those two items?
I make a motion on it, but just going to question the, is this group, haven't this group been before us before?
Came to see me, Commissioner, shortly before all this stuff started mid-March. I asked them to come visit with each of you, and they will visit with you before we ever have any kind of a basement agreement. This is just to create a reinvestment zone, and I asked them to visit with each of you. Then they got into the emergency order, so I assume it's going to be once we're through this. So it'll probably be after we're done or via telephone that they're going to visit with you.
Does this go back some time ago? Because for some reason, I'm thinking that this is a group I was looking at something in South County. Am I right,
Commissioner? It is in South County, but it's a brand new project.
Okay, new project.
But a large new project.
Okay.
Any other discussion? I believe it's moved by Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Arnold. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, now we'll move into the public comment section. Any comments from public officials?
Judge, I received some calls, and frankly, about deputy constables not being a part of the premium paid emergency declaration, and I found that pretty much what I feel is wrong, for lack of another
term. Okay, I'll explain my reasoning to you.
Them being law enforcement, and I know we've been dealing with this several times, and I did receive the calls. I told a couple of the constables I would bring it to the court's attention and get an answer why. I have gone to Walmart, I've gone to Lowe's and places, and I don't know where they are, but they are utilizing those guys to do what your orders say do. And that's make sure people do social distancing, limit the people in the store. It's up to the constables how they deploy their people, but I just think it's law enforcement. I mean, you know, riding around the city and seeing a group of people and telling them, look, y'all gotta disperse. That's part of your order, and I don't understand why we would eliminate any leg of all law enforcement. I really don't.
Right. I saw Comfortable Bates' email this morning. I never said that Comfortable were not law enforcement, but we can forget that. I didn't say that. I just had my thought process was that there were three Comfortable Pollard, Comfortable Warner, and Constable Adams that got the National Incident Management System, Incident Control and Command Structure certifications, offered to work with the DOC during incident, and offered themselves up. And you know, we do an incident action plan, and we submit that to the state every day. We have mission objectives. And these three constables offered to support those mission objectives, support us with security at the testing sites, and so forth. So my decision, which is not even in effect yet, was to pay premium pay to those constables that are supporting the EOC. I was told this morning that Constable Bates' deputies did get some NIMS training and submitted their certificates after the time the emergency orders had already been entered, the disaster declaration, but they have never offered themselves up to help us accomplish our missions that we have in our incident action plan. And, you know, so my thought was pay premium pay to those that are supporting the mission objective. But I never said that they weren't law enforcement.
No, I don't even want to imply that. I just see where it says sheriff, jail, and cleat employees. And then they say for non-sheriff, jail, and I know that the constables are not cleat employees, but they do have a union. Well, I guess y'all, I don't want to speak for you guys. If you allow a judge in court, one commissioner, you want to go, so constables can speak for yourselves. I told you I'd bring the issue, and that's what I'm doing.
But Judge, I want to say one thing before they speak. If we have an order in place that some people in the community will go against, for example, early in it, I rode around and watched some people playing basketball. I called a personal friend as a deputy and say, look, you need to get your guys and go over there and make sure that these guys don't do that. It was in my precinct. I didn't bother to call the sheriff because I know where she's at and know where they're at. I didn't bother to call BPD because they were down the other way looking at some other people. Over, matter of fact, they went at Rogers Park at the time. So what I'm saying from that perspective, if they are doing the work that would enhance our community, I don't see how you can relegate just to security of the test site and not look at the whole picture. That's a problem with me. That's where I stand.
Yeah. You mind, Judge?
Not at all. This is a public comment section. So if Constable want to speak or if anyone on the phone wants to speak, please feel free to. Constable Bates is going to speak first. So if anybody online wants to speak, let's wait until after he spoke.
Okay, thank you for allowing me to speak this morning. Just kind of goes back to Hurricane Harvey, when our deputies were on the non-essential personnel list during those times when the community really needed the constables. And we made it a valid effort to make sure that after any other disaster that may come to our area, that we had our constables on the essential personnel list to make sure that we had individuals coming in from all over the state, other law enforcement, helping our area when we had 20 or so odd deputy constables, basically status as clerks on the non-essential list. So there was a meeting with Mr. White, the constables, to make sure that we got the information, make sure that we got the classes and things of that nature, so that we could be on the essential personnel list. And we did that. I don't know what was directly communicated to you, Judge, but the information that you received that stated was that was after the emergency declaration, information had been there, information was found at the emergency management officer after. We made sure that we got this training done after this meeting. So I don't know where the mix-up was, but the information had been there, and as you can see, the dates on the certifications were effective way before this disaster came about. But in receiving the email on last Thursday and stating that, you know, after today that, you know, we would not, some constable officers would be, you know, deemed essential and they would have to work the testing site. My guys, like in the state, we've been out working in the community per your orders, making sure that people are adhering to the order of effect, and making sure that we're being proactive in our community. I can understand that the testing site and things of that nature are important, which they're very much so, but it's also very well important that we are being proactive in our communities, because we know those individuals are coming to the testing site, we know those individuals are sick or showing symptoms, so to speak. So if we really want to get ahead of this thing, it makes more sense to make sure that we have individuals in our community, businesses in our community, making sure that they are following the orders at hand, so that we can stop people from actually coming to the testing site, being proactive in that. And then as far as constables, those constable precincts being offering themselves up, it was under my understanding that when we are essential personnel, no one called and said that, hey, you have to offer yourself up. We knew that we turned in the information and we were on the essential personnel list. Because that was a question I was going to ask, that how did those individuals get chosen? But according to you, they called and offered themselves up. My office and none of the other officers have an issue with working the testing site, if that's something that we need to, you know, work collectively to do. But that testing site is a regional testing site, which involves many cities in there. And if we're gonna do it right, in my opinion, it would be advantageous for us to have, we have individuals from Port Arthur, Port Nature Groves, Neyland, and Beaumont, everyone, citizens coming to that testing site. And all those cities also have police agencies that can lend a hand in securing that testing site each and every day, if we split it up and do it the right way, so that it can be fair across the board.
I don't disagree with you, Constable, but from a logistics standpoint, if we have three constables that we know are willing to help us, it's much easier for us to manage the scheduling to stick with those three offices rather than to try to deal with all those sheriff's departments and police departments. It just made it easier on us. One last decision that we have to make.
I understand that, but I think we've all created schedules for much more than weight bearing issues. I think that it could be done. I understand it's an easier aspect of it, but I think the citizens of those three precincts, Precinct 2, Precinct 6, and Precinct 8, those citizens also deserve to make sure that they have representation and individuals doing that, all law enforcement, that all first responders, making sure that we are on the fighting grounds, which we have been. We still have essential person papers that are coming through our office that we are out and making sure that we are serving. Child support, CPS papers, we have attachments on individuals. So we're out in the thick of it, serving these essential papers deemed essential by the Texas Supreme Court. So I'm just really trying to come here to get some clarification and understanding. If we're doing per the orders, and patrolling and doing those things and making sure we're doing this order by your order. Why is it limited to the testing site? Because I understand we have three consuls there, but we have other law enforcement agencies. And our law enforcement personnel in the county are basically doing their regular everyday job that are also getting paid premium pay. And they are not just subjected to working the testing site to get that, earn that premium pay, just working their everyday job.
So, all of the constables get the training? Did every constable in Jefferson County get that training, or did some not choose to go?
I can't speak on some of the other precincts. As far as if they got all their deputies, I know the Chief Deputy Holmes can speak for Precinct 6, but I know my deputies, we have that training, and I actually went to an incident command training in Huntsville before. It's a week-long training simulation where we got this training, so I know I
have. And a question to you on that. You went to the emergency manager coordinator to find out about this? How did it come about?
About this?
Yeah, about this incident training.
We went to the emergency management coordinator when Earl White was the constable. He set up a meeting with everyone. And we had a meeting in that office when Mike White first came in. And we discussed about moving forward, who's going to be essential and what they need to do to be essential. Because this is not just going to be for this disaster. We have hurricane season coming up. So it's important that we have all this stuff, you know, squared away, because when hurricane season comes off and we have a hurricane, I don't think it'd be advantageous for us to say, well, you know, we're going to pick and choose, you know, who's going to be, you know, receiving essential pay when the people are going to be suffering and they're going to need law enforcement to help them. So this is just not a COVID-19 issue. This is going to be, this is something that needs to be clarified.
Right. Excuse me, Constable, my deal is easy fixing, Patrick and Judge, is that we find out who did get the training, open it up to those guys. If they didn't get the training, they should get the premium pay. That's my opinion, is that, and offer you those guys a chance to, I mean, because I've called you, Judge, and I've called the Port Arthur Police Department about complaints that people were bunched up in a store, or bunched up in going, and I've called you about, and I've called constable. I mean, I just want to say a law enforcement officer need to go out there and tell those people to spread out. And they usually respond. I don't think y'all had anybody object to it, but until the store manager was getting beat up at one store because people were refusing to do it. And I just feel that law enforcement is, and I'm not, I don't want to imply that you have said they're law enforcement. I think they're law enforcement, and if they didn't get the training, X amount of this premium pay, the ones that got the training, let's open it up for all of those officers at least respond to your order. If they do not respond to something that the EOC tell them to respond, then we refuse the premium pay.
But I think it goes back a little bit further than that. Number one, this training you went to, did the EEOC have to talk to the sheriff deputies to get this training, or is it something special up and beyond? Because I want to know how it come about, because the sheriff deputies, do they have to go through this training or not? Do you guys know?
History. Christopher wasn't around that time. During Ike, we had constables that would show up here at lunchtime. We're doing nothing. They weren't serving papers, they weren't doing anything. And then leaving after lunch, it's out in Houston, spending their time there, and they were getting premium pay. So then Harvey came along, and Chief White at that time was constable, and he was working in the EOC. And Mike told Constable White at that time that the it would be nice if the constables were involved, and he offered to set up a meeting. They had the meeting, and Mike said, if y'all do get this training, then we can work together to accomplish our mission objectives. So, and some did, and apparently Constable Bates did, but the ones I initially put on the list were put on the list because they were the ones who'd gone to the EOC and said,
maybe one offer ourselves does to help. Now, I've heard what Commissioner Senegal said, I've heard what Commissioner Alford said, listen to Comfortable Vegas, this doesn't go into effect until tomorrow. I told Patrick I wanted to think on it further, I'm gonna keep an open mind and try to do what's fair. Also, expect that we're gonna be reimbursed for this, but we need to remember that, you know, we had collected 95% of our property taxes, so we're pretty good there. But our fines and fee revenue is gonna be significantly down, our sales tax numbers are gonna be significantly down. And so, you know, I wanna move with care in these decisions.
Judge, what would be the reason why they weren't, what would be the reason why it wouldn't be reimbursed? Because, you know, like the president and the governor.
Easy. Takes around and say no to everybody.
I know the declaration's being, you know, declared from the top to where we at, but I didn't know if there was specific reason why they wouldn't pay the 75% or even if you can ask for, because I know there's a waiver that can be asked for, even the 25%.
I think the state is going to pick up all but 10%.
Yeah.
Right, between the 75.
That's what we think.
Obviously, this is a unique situation. Let me just kind of do a little history, too, because I know Commissioner Weaver touched upon it. The original 14-day premium pay,
yes,
was tied to the Families First Act, and those divisions and groups that were excluded from being able to use that. So that's how that premium pay came about. It had nothing to do with closure or anything. Then you had, after 7 days, you clarified and made the clerical between law enforcement and corrections the same. So we treat their clerical the same. They would have the ability to use that 80 hours. And then also at that time, we added some specific personnel that were left that needed to be identified. So all that ran through tonight. So everybody's getting premium paid through tonight. So, in the new order, which is based on what was adopted to amend our current emergency policy, was those deemed essential by the county judge would receive that. And that's what we're talking about now, mm-hmm. What he's talking about thinking about. So, just to let you know, our estimate is roughly $50,000 a day.
That's what I want to hear.
You heard the numbers on how long we might get. You go a month on this thing, it's $1.5 million. So, now going back to reimbursement, I'm gonna be limited on my discussion here.
Right.
Because what they're gonna wanna know is, what did you do specific to this event? It's different from what you did.
Well,
think about that.
Wouldn't that come with the orders that we have?
Different from what your job is.
Yeah. But wouldn't
they're going to ask what specific
things, and that's why we have somebody that's getting what we do every day, and that's why when we
right.
originally came in, it's what I said. Our road and bridge guys were out there doing what they do. They weren't out there pulling people out of the house. I think Commissioner Senegal said, and I think Commissioner Arnold said the same thing. So that was one of the things to say. Okay, we look at that. Then we looked at public health people. They are in the front line, right in the middle of this thing. So it's just fair. Fair.
Right. I'm just going back to the reimbursement.
Right.
Because then you come back and it all comes back to, yeah, we've all declared disasters, everybody's declared disaster. Then they're going to go back, what's the Staffing Act say? Which is what controls
exactly
why
right.
you get the money.
Yeah.
And they're going to come back and they're going to say, first you got to meet your county threshold. You shouldn't meet that, it's about $1 million. Then you gotta meet a state threshold, which is about $39 million.
Well, hold on right there, Patrick. Hold on right there. How do we deal with that under this regional concept?
Well, when you say Jefferson County, we're talking about all entities within Jefferson County.
Correct.
Talking about us, talking about the city of Baltimore,
okay.
cost. So you have to gather all.
Right.
This is kind of going back to the ML days.
Exactly.
We met our threshold countywide. We didn't meet our state threshold. No money came from that. We're on our own. So, and that took $3 million out of our reserves right away. So we're at that off. But I just want to say, we're going to apply for this funding and ask for this reimbursement. The EOC cost, that's what they easily identify as cost to be reimbursed. Some of the things that they have in broad categories are law enforcement and security.
Okay.
That's where we're gonna apply our hat on to say we implemented this premium. There's other issues we have heard we have to jump. Did we have this policy in effect before the event? No.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Patrick, just for clarification, for example, when you talk about these, I guess, mission approved reimbursement goals that you would need to submit to get reimbursement, I guess my question for clarification, your EOC staff, because of them dealing with the call centers, testing sites, and any other personnel associated with the testing sites, are the EOC slash call centers, logistics, things like that, that would all be reimbursable costs. The other factor of that would not be, as I understand it from what you're saying, like my road and bridge guys, and I think Commissioner Alford did on it as well, you know, they're out there doing their day-to-day jobs that they've always done. So they are not getting premium pay. They would never be eligible for any of that because they're not dealing with the response. So what you're saying is that these individuals, these first responders, if you want to, that's how we call them, that deal with the call centers, the testing sites, the EOC, those are all potentially reimbursable costs.
Correct. Yeah, those are, I'm telling you, we're going to submit for each one. And part of the, and I have to go refresh my memory, but as things have gone with this ICS training, the stricter as each event happens, I imagine this one will be different because there's many people that are suffering through the country that have never probably had a disaster event. But part of that is you have to have this training because there's certain forms you have to fill out to document your time on. And that's things they want to see when we submit for reimbursement. So that's part of that training, and it is, there's many levels. I text Shelburne to see, I believe law enforcement and corrections have had that training.
And with the three comfortable offices that are getting the premium pay right now, again, no decision for tomorrow, but we're gonna show them as being assigned to the EOC, which is gonna make it easier for us to get reimbursed.
Now, the question I have, Patrick, hold on before you go down. With that $50,000 per day and looking at, because we got to look down the road. This is when I talk about the big shoulders that we have. We have to look down the road and because this county has to run after this no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And our reserves, I remember it was at a decent number. With our projected budget, because it's going to be a lean budget from everybody, I'm sure. And the amount we had, have you started looking down the road projection? Because we need to know those numbers now, because this county must run after this, no matter what.
Right. But like Judge said, we collect most of our property taxes.
Correct.
We start out with about 54 million reserves to start the year. Our sales tax has not seen a decrease yet. There's a 2-month lag.
Right.
So you're talking about, we all started closing. Things was middle of March.
And the problem is that we're seeing a lot of sales right now of food, but food's not taxable.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna see, I mean, the long-term effects are, we're an oil and gas
county,
petrochemical county.
But I think the good news is toilet paper's taxable.
Yeah, well, in those projects, a lot of these big companies are gonna probably reanalyze some of these projects they have. Most of them are still going, LNG projects are still.
Blade projects still going.
But, and that's what generates some of that sales tax. You know, we've got budget, we're still planning on doing budget hearings at the same time in July. We're probably gonna send budget packets out shortly. And then at that time, you know, we have a good clean cutoff for 6 months. We like to get that 6 month time period in for our revenue and for our expenses so we can do that projection. But I mean, for the rest of the year, I think there's some areas where we're not gonna see some expenses. The fees and fines, obviously, I would think would drop down. Court right now to impact those. You know, our two main revenue sources, sales tax and property taxes. We still have 7 months to go on sales taxes. So if we see a significant drop, that would have us eat into our reserves.
Well, Judge, I thank you for reconsidering. I mean, thinking about it at all. I think the guys that didn't get the training, I don't think they deserve to get the premium pay. I say that for the record. Constable, you offering yourself up and whoever else got the training up, if they choose not to offer themselves up to the EOC, they shouldn't get the training. It's real simple for me. But I understand what Patrick and Judge are saying, but I still want to.
And my question is about the training, because I don't think y'all got an answer, never heard the answer anyway. So have all the deputy sheriffs received this EOC training?
I texted John Sharber, yes, asked if they had their training.
The ones at the jail?
Yes.
But what about the ones that's in the field?
Law enforcement.
I said LE, that was the question, I think.
You believe so, okay.
Yeah, we can verify corrections, but my understanding is they should have the ICS training.
And I just want to add that, you know, what happened in North Rita, you know, I wasn't there. I was working for
I wasn't here during that either, but
I, you know, I worked for PAB at the time.
I was here.
And so whatever those constables or whoever it was.
Oh, I'm not blaming you.
That, you know, I don't want us to be looked into that issue, because I'm definitely a different person. So, when I run things a little bit differently, just want to make sure that the things are probably being fair for all deputies, because, in my opinion, there is not a difference as far as what duties and what authority that the state gives us by our TECO licenses that a sheriff deputy and a constable deputy, because they're doing the same thing. Definitely, we don't mind helping, but if my deputies are doing the same thing that the sheriff deputies are doing, and I know the sheriff deputies are not per se at the testing site every day, then I don't understand how you can only say that you have to work the testing site when everyone only to get this premium pay when we're out in the community doing the same thing, making sure that we are being proactive, and making sure people are following, and we're trying to flatten this curve. So I just I appreciate you all allowing me to come and speak on that. I don't know if Chief got anything to add to that.
Just that,
association.
My only concern was just as you brought up, if the sheriff's deputies are getting paid and we're not getting paid, I just want it to be fair on both sides of the fence. Now, if the sheriff's deputies out there doing what they're doing, they're still receiving the premium pay, then I expect us to receive the premium pay. I don't mind. And that's just being fair. Now, here what you say. And, you know, if they're going to be assigned to the site, then okay. But, I mean, you know, you're going to have some guys that are not going to go to that site because they don't want to expose themselves because of health issues. So they have the right to decline. want to be fair.
Well, you want to talk about fair, because I'm working 7 days a week, and I'm not getting
any. Oh, I ain't judging, but you, that's why you got a big crime.
Can I talk?
Sure.
No, no.
So, first of all, let me say, this is difficult times for everybody in here, okay? And so I remember the historical information on what happened a long time ago. Even when Earl White was here, I'm the one who told Mike White that sometimes we get taxed as the sheriff's deputies, and we've got a whole pool of law enforcement officers, the constables, that we can use. I'm the person who said that. I'm the person who initiated that. Secondly, the other day, when Mike White and I talked about who would be working at the airport, or first of all, we thought it would be more than one testing site. And so once again, they called on the sheriff's department, and I'm the one who suggested the constable's office. Not a constable's office. What I envisioned was we would be rotating constables to help fulfill the need or bridge the gap that the sheriff's department or office could not do alone. Okay. The sheriff's department is not getting premium pay based on the testing site. 911 rings in my place. I don't have a choice on whether I respond or not. My guys have to respond and put themselves in dire situations on a daily basis where we don't know if people are infected or not, okay? So we don't get to choose that. We have to go. And so that was one of the reasons that we get the premium pay. That's a little bit different, okay? By no means does it devalue the job that the law enforcement function that the constables help us do. I can't be everywhere. I don't have the officers to be everywhere. We are right now tasked with our correctional facility. So some of my law enforcement guys have correctional license, and we're putting them in the jail because 70% of our workforce in that correctional facility are single parents who, guess what, have kids and the kids are home. Some of those folks are sick, okay? During Harvey, during the storm before that, and during this storm, one thing I want everybody to remember is I think it's embarrassing when we call on other law enforcement agencies across the country to come here and help us. When we got cops here, whether they're constables or not, and 911 doesn't ring at their place, but if I need to call Brian Warner, if I need to call Chris Bates, if I need to call Roger Daniels, I can pick up the phone and guess what, they're there. And so we have a resource here that we can use. We've had some bad constables. It's like we've had some bad cops and bad sheriff deputies that don't do their job. As a sheriff, though, I think we need to tap into those folks, those resources, and use them where we can. Okay? I don't like getting into this competition about who's more valuable in our community, because we're all valuable in our community as law enforcement officers. All over the news media, everybody's asking me how, you know, or complaining that we're enforcing executive order or that we're not. And so what we can do, and you can document it, you can assign people to areas that we're having problems to help secure, to help, you know, and I hate to say help the police department or help the sheriff's department or sheriff's office. That's not what I'm talking about. There's enough work for everybody to do. Give people assignments, document how they're preventing folks or how we are abiding or helping to, you know, make sure that we're in doing what executive order commands us to do. And not just one executive order. We got executive orders coming out by the governor, by our county judge, and by a lot of folks. But also, I called coordinators the other day. They didn't have a person to go over there because I got a call about kids in a park. And so while we all have different responsibilities in law enforcement, we are a resource for our community. We are a resource for our community. And so let's figure out how to do that. But our roles are different. And I don't want to, you know, right now, our role is the same. Our role is to keep the community safe and keep everybody at home so I don't get infected, so you guys don't get infected. Jeff, you have any questions for me?
Thank you, though. Mm-hmm.
Questions, comments?
I never got the full communication about constant work and testing site. I know you just said that, but never got email, text,
Mike White called me one day, or he was picking my people and putting them in there, and I needed my people somewhere else. And so I said to him, we got a whole group of constables, and they're probably not going to be serving a lot of civil paper right now. Tap into them. That was my comment. And so and what I envisioned is exactly what I explained, that we tap into all of you guys and let you go and work it. I didn't say call a certain precinct. I said, we got a bunch of cops around here that we can utilize. And so I just want to clarify that. It was never shade any of the constables, being from our, my very close friends, and they're a resource for this community. And so let's utilize them.
All right, is there anybody on the phone that has any public comments? You would press star six to unmute your line if you have a public comment. Press star six if you have a public comment. All right. Hearing no public comment, this meeting of the Jefferson County Commission Court is adjourned on April 14th at 11:39 a.m.